This is Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, Chapter 6, Text 37. In this verse, Maitreya Muni is glorifying the activity of hearing about Krishna. Ekanta Labham. This is the one and only gain. This is the Lobha or Labha. Ekanta. The one end. Ekanta. The one end. The end of all one. Or the one end for which we should aspire for. There's nothing worth aspiring for. We aspire for or attempt to attain or acquire so many things. Position, objects, fame, comfort. But Maitreya Muni is saying that actually there's only one thing. Ekanta Labham. There's only one thing that we should desire or be greedy for. Labha means lobha. Lobha means greed. Kam, krodh, lobh, moha, matsarya, mada. Everyone's heard these things. We're very greedy. And we sometimes, even if someone is too greedy, he becomes criticized by his cohorts or his peers. They say, he's a very greedy fellow. It's all right to be borderline, a certain level of greed is acceptable. There's a certain acceptable level of greed. You can be greedy for a certain amount of money and greedy for a certain amount of objects and attainments. But you can't be overly greedy or too greedy. Because everyone in the material world is contaminated by lust, anger, and greed. Trividam narakasya idam. Krishna says in Gita, Trividam narakas naraka dwaram. There's three gates leading to hell. Tridwaram. Lust, anger, and greed. So we are all victims. We are victimized and victims of our uncontrolled material lust, anger, and greed. And we see in our society, if someone is very greedy, then they criticize, oh, he's very greedy. He's a Scrooge. He's a Scrooge. He's miserly. He's kripana. Even we have words for it. But the ordinary man and woman, they're greedy. For example, they have in some of these food substances, there's an acceptable level. For example, I remember someone telling me about some type of beverage, like these carbonated beverages. And someone tested that beverage in the laboratory and they found so much pesticides and chemicals and poisonous DDT and all kinds of injurious chemicals inside that soda pop. We won't mention any trade names because we don't want to promote them. But these carbonated beverages, some of them are clear or green or brown. And so when they tested this beverage, they found out there were extremely high levels of poison inside. DDT and other chemical poisons used to kill insects and other various sundry pests. So they're called pesticides, to kill a pest. And so then the conclusion of the article was that these levels of poison inside the cold drink, they were exceeded the standard norm. In other words, there was an acceptable government standard. Yes, in your cold drink, it's permitted to have a certain amount of poison. And you can still legally produce your whatever, up, down, whatever it is, and this cola, that cola. You can legally produce it and sell it to the 1 billion people. You can sell it to the 1 billion people in India, and there's no problem. Although you're actually selling poison, and the people are drinking poison, but it's an acceptable level of poison. They should call it rather poison cold drink. Or what? Vishtandapani? Visha? Vishtandapani? Poisonous cold drink. Like they say, cold drinks available here. And then you write some graffiti. Poisonous cold drinks available here. Every drink, there's a drop of DDT. Which means a chemical to kill cockroaches or fleas or whatever, bugs that eat up your lettuce or something. So in the same way, in human society, there is an acceptable level of greed. there's a legal level. You can be so greedy. Everyone's okay, everyone's a little greedy. It's okay, but if you're too greedy. But here, Maitreya Muni is saying, you should only have ekanta, there should be only one greed. No other greed. Kick out all your other greeds. And this should be the end of all your greeds. The end of all your greed should be to hear about that shote mule, the activities of Krishna, su sloka, uttama shloka, gunanavadat, puman virahetamina pushudnat. It's told in Bhagavatam that those, says, nivirtatar shera pagiyam adat, bhavoshadi chotra manobiramat, bhavoshadi chotra, chotra ramobiramat, that this hearing, this chotra, this shrota, hearing this harikata is nectar, it's raman. Raman means satisfying. Raman means conjugal love. Raman means erotic love. Chotra manobiramat. Manobiramat means your mind will be submerged in an ocean of satisfaction by hearing the harikata. This is what's being told in the 10th canto. Nivrittitar sher upagiyamarad bhavoshadi chotra manobiramat kautama shloka gunanavadat puman virahita vinapushudnat. But Shukamuni is saying there are some people that don't want to hear about Krishna. Who are they? They're the pashudnat, pashu aga, those sinful people, those animal people, two-legged animals, as Prabhupada would often say, dui paru pashu, the two-legged animals, look like human beings, lipstick, fingernail polish, or you say nail paint, fingernail polish. The other day we were discussing American English and Indian English. And everybody in India wants to be American, so they say, when the lady puts color on their nail, she says, nail paint. This is my nail paint. I'm sorry. They're taking Hindi and making it in English. Nak karam, diwar karam, gadi karam, car paint, wall paint, nail paint. But this is nail polish. When you put some coloring here, this is the English, American English, nail polish, right? He knows, he's in both cultures. So you say torch, we say flashlight. You say dustbin, we say trash can. So this is a continuation. We started our English class a couple of days ago. So these are more inserts for your American English dictionary. I was going to write a book, English as it is. And then in the back, this book is for all young professionals. All young Indian professionals who want to speak English like the Americans speak English. Be American, speak American. And written by an American Swami. Oh, it'll be overnight bestseller. I'm sure it'll sell millions of copies. And now it's easy. I have two columns. One column says wrong, one column says right. And I have it in all the different words. Wrong, dustbin. Right, trash can. Wrong, nail paint. Right, nail polish. It's like this. So this, only these two-legged animals, they don't want to hear about Krishna. So this is ekanta mode. He's saying ekanta. This should be the only lobha. Our greed, we should have greed. We should be very, very greedy. In fact, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he says that we should engage our bad qualities in our service. Like someone might say, oh Maharaj, I'm so greedy, I'm really greedy. I just, everything I see I want to possess. I want more and more and more. I'm so greedy by nature, I can't control my greed. If I see something I immediately want it, I want to hold it and possess it and have it and control it and enjoy it. I'm so greedy. And we say, yes, that's very good. It's very good. Simply redirect your greed. Become greedy to associate with sadhus. Become greedy to read about Krishna. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati is explaining how to dovetailing. Dovetailing our demoniac qualities, our asura sampat, in the service of the Lord. Anger. Oh, I'm so angry. Any little thing happens, I start boiling with anger. My wife, my children, my boss, I can't control my anger. I get so disturbed over the smallest thing. So then Siddhanta Saraswati said, yes, it's very good. That's very good, you get angry. So you should engage your anger against the demon. You should engage your anger against the demon. Who is the demon? Me. So we should engage our anger against ourselves. We should be angry at ourselves. Why am I not serious about Krishna consciousness? Why am I not serving my guru with full heart and enthusiasm? Why am I holding back? Why am I holding back from surrendering? Why am I holding back? I could give so much more. I could do so much more. But I'm attached to my independence. I'm attached to my fun-loving spirit. I'm attached to the sense of enjoyment. So I'm holding back. So in this way, we direct the anger towards ourselves. So we feel greed. Well, direct your greed towards reading about Krishna. Ekanta lobham. So the point of this verse, of course, is hearing. It's emphasizing hearing, and that's what we're all doing right now, is hearing. Because this, in the age of Kali, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu emphasized that hearing about Krishna is the easiest process, and it's the best process for self-realization. You think about it. Every other sense organ, our Panch Indriya, Gyan Indriya, Karma Indriya, to engage or use or utilize our sense organs, it requires effort, the input of energy, the expenditure of energy or work. Work is required to hold your eyelids open. You have to work, especially right now. If you got up early, you have to work very hard to hold open your eyelids. And you have to work to open your mouth. You have to contract your muscles. To open your mouth requires work. So if you want to chant mantras, Om, work is required. You have to open your mouth. Because your mouth is closed. You have to forcefully, willfully direct your attention, your willpower to your mouth. Your Ichha Shakti, and open your mouth. Or to use your hands or your legs if you want to do yoga and sit in the yoga position. You have to lift your leg and fold your left leg over your right leg and your right leg over your left leg. So to do asana, you have to work. Or to do pranayama, you have to hold your nose and count. You have to work. So to do ashtanga yoga, to do dhyanam, you have to work. To chant mantras, or to do Vedic yajnas, you have to work. Effort is required, energy. To do karma yoga, you have to work. Karma means work. Working yoga, working nishkam yoga, you work, offer the results to the Lord. Karma yoga, you work and remember the Lord when you're doing things. Yat karoshi rashnashi yat juhoshi dadashi yat. That's karma yoga. So all these yogas and gyan, so much work. You have to study. To study, you have to open your eyes. And you have to take notes. You have to study, you have to read Vedanta Sutra. And go over and pour over the books, the textbooks, over and over again. Read and read. But in Bhakti Yoga, there is no effort. It is lazy man's yoga. This is a yoga for the lazy man. Manda sumanda matiyo. Manda bhagi upadrata. So this is this is called the age of laziness. This is a lazy age. Right? Lazy, crazy. Either you're lazy, or you're crazy, or both. There's only three choices. If you're both, then you're Hare Krishna. If you're only lazy, then you're a materialist. You're a mundaner. And if you're crazy, well, they're also crazy. But we're lazy and crazy for Krishna. And the materialists are lazy and crazy for Maya. So now think about it. Because the basis, the sum and substance of Bhakti Yoga is Shravanam and Kirtanam, hearing. So hearing is based on the ear. And guess what? There's good news, in case you didn't know. The ears are always open. Chobis Ganta Kamkaro Chalu Bhogya Bhava. 24-hour service. And you don't have to open the door. You don't have to close the door. You don't have to lift up the door or close the door. No effort required. You don't have to open your ears. Oh, my ears are closed, so they have to open them. Oh, my ears are feeling very sleepy. I think my ears are, I feel sleepy. My ears are closing now. Do your ears fall down like your eyelids fall down in Bhagavatam class? Do your ears, when you're listening to Bhagavatam class, you're feeling tired and all of a sudden your ears go like this. Do they do that? Have you ever seen? And it, even, you may want to do that. You may want to block your ears and not hear anymore because it disturbs your sleep. You're like this in Bhagavatam class. Oh, because some of these Indian speakers, they speak with lots of jorsa. Hey, you must do it! No, the Indian speakers, they like the... Because that's Bhagavatam. In the 12th canto, it says, if you want to establish the absolute, any kind of truth, you must present it very boldly. So any kind of false thing or bogus thing, you can establish by loudly telling it or boldly presenting it. And you must meditate on the tip of your nose. And realize that you and your nose are one. And you are the nose, and the nose is you, and that's it. And they very loud with 500 speakers and 17,000 watt amplifier. And everyone's like... And they totally brainwash the people by loud sound vibration. So perchance, if you're in a Bhagavatam class with a very forceful speaker, then you may want to put your hands over your ears also to facilitate your sleeping. Because the ears will not close by themselves. I'm sorry. They refuse to close down. They refuse to stop serving. The ears are serving our cause 24 hours a day. They're always open. May I help you, sir? When you go into a store, at least in America, and here they don't even pay attention to you. But in America, when you go into a store, they say, oh, good morning, sir. Good morning, madam. May I help you? But in India, you go in a store and the guy's chewing his pan, reading the newspaper, and it's a great disturbance if you buy something. It's a big disturbance if you buy something from his store. You say, you have to be very humble and approach Tadvidhi Pranipatena, Pariprashnena Sevya. You have to come with folded hands and very gentle voice, not loud voice. Because if you say loud voice, he'll look at you, close, up, down, down. Excuse me, Mr. Agarwal, may I buy a dhoti from your shop? Will you be so kind to bless me with your benevolent, unreserved mercy? Okay, boy, sit down. Sit down, sir. Sit down. How about? So our ears are always waiting. Mukti Mukanjali Sevate Sma. The ears are always waiting with folded hands. Kim Karomi. How may I serve you? How may I serve you? And then we say, yes, put in, listen to the rock and roll. And the ears are saying, Are Baba. What is this crap? What is this unwanted sound? This is durbash. This is durbash. This is bad. This is not good. So our ears, they want to hear ekanta shabdam. Ekanta shabdam. Ekanta labdam, labham ekanta shabdam. We should only, shabda means sound. We should only hear one thing. And that sound will give us the end of the perfection of life, simply by hearing about Krishna. All perfection is there. So this is such a beautiful feature, built-in feature of this model we have. This is a sports model, XL, Manush Sharir, XLL, double X, right? Manushaya, double special model, not the ordinary Marutis. XL, Excalibur. And special feature of this model, 24 hours, ears are always open. It's effortless. You can lie down on your bed and do bhakti yoga. You can walk around the block and do bhakti yoga. You can do any. You can cook and do bhakti yoga. You can rock your baby to sleep and do bhakti yoga. You can make money and do bhakti yoga. It's so simple. It's so easy. And all you do is push a button, and all this, and the sound comes. The transcendental sound comes out. The Shabda Brahman, and you're making tremendous progress. You can attain all perfection simply by that. So this is. It's such a beautiful, you have to be, we can be so thankful to the Lord. He's made it so easy. You don't have to, literally, they say like this in advertising, literally, you don't have to lift a finger. You might say, oh, my hands are so tired, and my arms are so weak, Maharaj, I can't lift, I can't lift the books. I'm too weak, I'm in the hospital, my arms, I can't lift the Bhagavatam. No problem. No physical strength is required. No effort. Simply, and we don't have to say, open your ears. Please, open your ears. We have to say, open your eyes, read the book, move your fingers, chant the holy name, move your fingers, move the beads. You don't have to move anything. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to open it. I have to, it's so hard to read because I have to open my eyes. Nothing's required. So merciful the Lord is. What could be easier than that? You don't have to do anything. There's nothing. Is there any other yoga system or Gyan or yoga or karma where you don't have to do anything? Nothing. You don't have to move an inch. You don't have to even lift your eyelids. Just hear Shrinvatam, Tat Shrinu, as Krishna tells Arjuna in the Gita. Tat Shrinu, just hear. Listen, Suniye, Suniye Baba. Good news. Take in the news through your ears. Drink. And that's why is it saying this Kata is Sudha? Kata Sudhayam. What does it say? Yeah, it says, look at this. It says, this should be here. It says, Kata Sudayam Upasam Prayogam. Wait, Maitreya Muni, wait a minute. What are you talking about? Sudha. This is Sudha. Pani, nectar, sharbat. Does Sudha mean something you drink? Sudha. How is this Shabda? How are you calling Shabda sound? How are you calling it water? You're calling Shabda Pani or Jal. This is one, there's Panchabhuta. One is water and one is sound. Bhumirapo Nalovayu Kamano Buddhirevacha. There's earth, fire, water, ether. These are Panchabhuta, Mahapanchabhuta. Five elements. One is sound and one is water. Water is not sound. Sound is not water. Isn't it? You agree or you don't agree? You agree? This is basic. But you're telling me here that this Kata, Hari Kata, Krishna Kata, you're saying that it's water. You're saying that Kata, which is sound, is water. Are you cracked? You're a puggle, something you don't understand what water is and what sound is? No, he knows very well. He knows perfectly well by dint of his own experience, having drunk that sound. This is a very peculiar combination of terms here. Sound and water. I remember once when we were in America, there was some karmic company selling antifreeze, which is something you put in your radiator. And the name of that company was called Fire and Ice. Because it was good, that antifreeze was good in the summertime and good in the wintertime. So the name of the product was called Fire and Ice, Agni and Barf. Right? Is that right? Agni and Barf, fire and ice. It was a product. It was a blue liquid you put inside your car radiator, and it keeps your car from cracking or overheating and all this stuff. So this is interesting advertising here. Sound and water. Shabda and Pani. Katha Sudhayam. Prabodhananda Saraswati, he wrote a very, very wonderful book. Radha Ras Sudha Nidhi. Radha Ras Sudha Nidhi. The nectar. Because Maitreya Muni and all great thoughtful personalities, they realize that when you hear about Krishna, Bhagavat Shravan, Krishna Shravan, when you hear about Krishna, then the topics of Krishna, they actually flow into the ears. They flow in that vibration, that shabda Brahman, spiritual vibration, flows into the ear like a rushing river. And it's not a river of water, because he could have said Pani, Katha Pani or Katha Jal, he said Sudha. Sudha means it's a rushing, that transcendental vibration glorifying the name and qualities and pastimes of Krishna is a transcendental running river of nectar. Because Sudha means nectar. And what is nectar? Nectar is Amrit. And Amrit is such that when you contact it, that's why it says upasam prayogam. And Prabhupada says this word upasam prayogam, because yoga means connection, and upa means to sit near, to be near. Upa, like we say upasanam. Upasana means to be near the object of worship, to sit near the object of worship. Upasam prayogam. It means that to be near that, to have contact with it. So when we contact the nectar of Harikatha, when that transcendental river flows into our ears, it is the contacting of nectar. Katha Sudhayam. That Sudha is an Amrit. And when you contact Amrit, what happens? You become deathless. And it's very satisfying. And what also happens, when you hear Harikatha, something arises in your heart, which is explained in the first canto of Bhagavatam. Bhaktir Upadyate. It says, Utpadyate. It says that bhakti rises in the heart. And then shoka moha. It says, shoka moha bhayapaha. Bhayapaha. Shoka moha bhayapaha. This is verse in first canto. It says lamentation, shok, and mo, illusion, bewilderment, confusion, doubts, hesitations, speculations, oh, what is God, what am I, what is this world, I don't know, I really can't understand. Shoka, moha, and bhayapaha. It is all burned up. Apaha is all destroyed. Bhakti utpadyate, uto, bhakti rises. Devotion for the Lord arises simply by hearing. Simply by hearing, so easy. And we should become Shabda Brahman addicts. Like they have heroin addicts. So they want to shoot something in their veins, some liquid, some sudha, some rasam, this heroin, this drug. And that gives them some momentary pleasure, the pleasure of tamagun. Every guna has its pleasure. So this forgetfulness and this illusion gives a certain pleasure to those situated in tamagun. So this, we as addicts, we're addicted to. We should become addicted to hearing about Krishna. At every moment, and it's so easy with all these, this player, that player, all these MP3 recorders, this, that. It's so easy to put on tapes when you sleep, when you rise. In the West, in America, other countries, they've done entire studies about sleep teaching. Sleep teaching. Learn a language in your sleep. Of course, that's how you're making progress in bhakti. You come to class and sleep. So it's called sleep teaching. You come to Bhagavatam class and sleep and you get the teachings. You get the jiva tattva, nam tattva, rasa tattva, just by sleeping. It's very good. We already know about the science of learning by sleeping. Otherwise, how are we still here? I myself, I've been sleeping for 30 years, 32 years. And it seems it's working. I'm becoming slightly Krishna conscious. By this, it's called sleep teaching. Teaching in the sleep. So they've done studies on it, that they play records, say, or not records, but when I was, and it was, but they play some tape or some CD of Hindi or French or German, and you're sleeping. And they're saying, koi baat nahi. Koi baat nahi. Kahan se aaya. And all this Hindi is going on, and you're sleeping. And when you wake up, you say, you look at your wife and say, hey, Mary, koi baat nahi. Oh, what are you talking about? You start speaking Hindi automatically just by hearing it when you're sleeping. This is, scientists have done studies and they market this. Sleep teaching. So the karmis are learning language and they're learning the seven principles of business success. In other words, they are programming, they are brainwashed deliberately, willfully, brainwashing themselves and putting information into their brain, into their motherboard, their let's say, putting information into their hard drive while they're sleeping. They're importing the information. They're loading their hard drive while they're sleeping by sleep teaching. But what about, but we don't take advantage of that. When we go to sleep, we say, forget it. Close all the books, turn off all the tape players, hang up the beads on the hook, and get all this kind of devotional paraphernalia out of the way, because here we go. Whoop! Dive into the ocean of ignorance. Sleep, sleep, sleep. Deep, deep, deep. The deeper the better, because then there's absolute total forgetfulness. Apohanam cha. Krishna says, from me comes remembrance, smritir, gyanam, apohanam cha. We want the apohanam. Very nice. 6 hours, 8 hours, the more the better. But we should take the lead from the karmis. Chanakya Pandit says, Niti Shastra, you find some gold in a filthy place, you take the gold and wash off the dirt. Even from a dirty place you can get gold. So the karmis, the non-devotees, the materialistic people, they come up with some good things. Like microphones, electric lights, cars, movie cameras, watches. These are all good things. Krishna gave them the intelligence and the facility to do it, and he gave them the elements to make it. It's all Krishna's mercy. Not their mercy, they're the immediate cause, but Krishna's the efficient cause. So they have this idea. Therefore, the conclusion is, when we sleep, we should not waste time. We should play a tape. Of course, scientists make these microphones, but this is Indian scientists. Haribol. Just to remind us that they are not achuta. The scientists are not. Krishna is achuta. He's infallible. He never fails. Anything about Krishna never breaks. It doesn't break. It doesn't fail. It always performs. Krishna's holy name never breaks. It always works. It always performs. It never gets a flat tire. I never heard of Krishna's name getting a flat tire. I never heard of Krishna's name shorting out. Like your electric circuits, they short out. Krishna's name doesn't short out. Doesn't burn out. Doesn't catch on fire. It's always perfect, prophylactic, pure, and blissful. Nama Chintamani Krishna Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha Purna Shuddha Nitya Mukta Binatva Namanamano. So we can take advantage of this by playing a tape when we sleep. And now they have these functions on these MP3 players. You can set D or A, it's called, it'll keep going. It'll keep playing, it won't stop. Even one lecture, if you like one particular lecture, some brahmachari lecture or something about grihasthas or whatever, some specific lecture, you can play that lecture and hit this function, and that same lecture will play all over and over, 6 hours throughout the night. And when you wake up, you'll start speaking the lecture. It's actually a fact, because the consciousness never sleeps. The mind never sleeps. Only the body and the senses shut down temporarily to some extent. And even they're awake. When the external eyes are sleeping, the internal eyes are awake. So even the senses, the senses are also awake even when we're sleeping. We're seeing when we're dreaming. We're hearing when we're dreaming. We're speaking when we're dreaming. So that means the senses are also active. So therefore we can take advantage of this. But very few devotees do that. We know devotees, they have two or three tape players in the old days. And they keep one always by their bed. Like one time someone said, you know, you live by yourself, or you sannyasis, you wander here and there, and you don't have any family, and you must feel lonely, and you must want some company. And I said, no, actually you don't, don't tell anybody, but this is a very secret. Actually, every night, I go to bed with 109 girls. Every night, I sleep with 109 ladies. So I don't feel any need for physical company. I don't feel any need to get married. Oh, Prabhu, I've been a brahmachari for 79 years, but now I think I should get married. Because, you know, the brahmacharis are so rough, and they don't go, Prabhu, and they say, hey, Prabhu, get up, go to Mangalarti. You're not the body, hum brahmasmi. But I want to hear some tender words. Some nice lady, like this. And then she says, oh, Prabhu, wake up. Just wake up for Mangalarti, Prabhu. But when the temple commander comes in the ajram, hey, get up, you stupid. You're not the body. What is this? You're snoring and get up. I've had it. I mean, after 79 years in the brahmachari ashram, I need a little comfort, a little sweetness, a little softness, a little maya. Rather, a lot of maya. I should edit that. A lot of maya. A lot. Jada maya. Bahut maya. Not come maya, come bahut maya. But the advanced devotees, they don't feel any need for them because they feel so comforted. You can imagine if you are a man and you go to sleep with 109 ladies, will you feel any discomfort? So now, what is the answer to this riddle? Some intelligent devotees may figure it out. The rest may not. Now let's examine this. When devotees go to sleep, sometimes they chant japa. They say, let me just chant one last round. Just like people in the bar, when they go in the bar, the liquor shop, and the whiskey bar, you know, bar, I don't know what you call it in India, you know, everyone drinks, drinking place. It's called bar, B-A-R. What do you have to think? What do you say, you know? Louder. Yeah, you go in a place where everyone's sitting around, drinking, whiskey, diplomat, Scotsman, aristocrat. So then before the night is about to end and they say, hey, bartender, give me one more for the road. Give me one more drink for the road. Then you go, all right, okay. Wow, oh, that was a good one. Okay, now I'll drive home. One for the road. So we have the same phrase. Let me chat one more round. Let me chat one more round before I take rest. One more. There's never enough. Remember what we said 2 days ago. In spiritual life, more is more. This is our motto. We have two shlokas to live by. In material life, we live by this shloka. Less is more. In spiritual life, we live by this shloka. More is more. Material life, less eating, more advancement. Less sleeping, more advancement. Less is more. Less greed, less anger, less fighting, less all this. So let me, hey Prabhu, let's chant one more for the road. Okay, good idea. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. So then when you finish your one more round, then you have your beads and you put them next to your pillow or your arm or whatever you use. Brahmachari is supposed to use his arm for a pillow. You put your beads next to your head, your bead bag. Now inside that bead bag, there are 108 beads. Starting to get the idea? There's 108 beads, and in the center there's the head bead. There's actually two heads, because Radha's there and Krishna's there. The head bead represents Radha and Krishna. So now we have 108 beads and the head bead. So Radha and Krishna, in the mantra shastras, they say that's Mount Meru. But we don't have any interest in Mount Meru. We're not inviting sadhana. We're not, this is not our ishta. We're not our destination. So the head bead is Radha and Krishna. And the 108 beads, as Prabhupada also said, the 108 beads represent the 108 gopis. 108 gopis, and Radharani is 109 gopis. So when I take rest with 109 gopis. You follow?
Hariva!
So the 109 gopis means 109 ladies, because gopis are sakis, are ladies. So I don't feel any need for any other gopi. Why should I settle for one gopi? Why should I throw everything away and settle for one gopi when I can have 109? You take one. Okay, chalo, take one, have a good time. Or try to have a good time with one gopi. But these 109 gopis, you'll have the best of times. Joyful times, serving their lotus feet, life after life, birth after birth. Janmani janmani shvei bhavatad bhaktir hoituki toyi. So therefore, then, okay, now we finished the round, put the bead bag, now the tape player is there. Boom. Then, that was like Prabhupada would say, Tapala devyam puchuke yena sattvam yashma brahma sokyam tonantam. Wow, Prabhupada. I remember I would hear, listen to tapes in the ashram back 30 years ago. When I wake up, I would speak the verse I heard in the tape. Because Prabhupada is so pure, speaking is so perfect. Tapala devyam puchuke yena sattvam shudyad yashma brahma sokyam tonantam. This is from Rishabhadev's teaching, last two lines. Nrinam deham deo. Yeah, this verse. So it's very, very powerful. So are we eager to love Krishna? Well, yes, a little bit. I'm eager for 18 hours. But 6 hours, hey, listen, this is my free time. This 6 hours of sleeping is my free time. Listen, I worked for the temple for 18 hours. I want my 6 hours rest. No, we want to serve Krishna 24 hours a day, hearing about Krishna. Ekanta labham. But this is how we express our greed. We're greedy to hear about Krishna. Every minute, whether I'm cooking, whether I'm cleaning, I'm washing, I'm bathing. I'm listening to a tape. I'm walking, I'm doing puja, I'm listening, hearing. We're addicted to it. And if we don't hear it, we go crazy. Sometimes we go out and we have to do many things during the day. Arranging for temple or preaching or getting visas or travel, so many things. So we don't have a chance to hear much. A very busy day, meeting politicians or meeting businessmen. Then we get back, we feel drained. We feel, oh, something's missing. What is missing? I didn't hear very much about Krishna. So then I sit down with the book, Nectar Devotion. Very nice book. So much nectar. And I read a few pages. Nice. Jai Sri Krishna. Jai Gurudev, Namo Vishnupadaya. Then take rest. Because we have to get our fix. It's called a fix. We have to get our fix. We have to get something inside our ears. This sudha. This nectar. This is sudha. This is such an amazing term. It's often mentioned in the Vedas. They say that this shabda is sudha. So another point that Prabhupada is making in the verse, in the purport, he says, Gunavadam, to hear about the qualities of Krishna. So I thought for at least 5 minutes, because we're just about over, or 5 or 10 minutes, we could read about the qualities of Krishna. Because Krishna said, Prabhupada's telling here, and Maitreya Muni is saying, that this is, we should be greedy to hear about the qualities of Krishna. And if we hear about the qualities of Krishna, Prabhupada's saying in the purport, the qualities of the Lord and His activities are the subject matter for the discussions of the devotees. So the Gunavadam, this is what we should talk about. This is what we should hear about. So, let's do it. Let's hear about Krishna's qualities. So there's, of course, there's 64 qualities of Krishna. And we'll just read a few. One quality is Tejas Anvita. Tejas Anvita. In English, that means effulgent. Effulgent. Effulgent means, what do you say, jyoti? Yeah, here. Tejas, anyway, it's Tejas Anvita, Tejas Vinda, Vita. It means he's very brilliant. effulgent. And you see that anyone who practices yoga and follows brahmacharya, because yoga means brahmacharya, Krishna says in Gita. Whether you're Grihastha or whatever you are, Krishna says right in the sixth chapter, there's no possibility of practicing yoga unless you practice brahmacharya. It's right there. If anyone has perchance read the Bhagavad Gita. So that's why Prabhupada says four regular principles. If you want to be a bhakti yogi or a jnani yogi, then you must be brahmachari. Otherwise it's bogus. There's no yoga. Yoga means connection with God. You want a nakli connection? Nakli yoga or asli yoga? If you want proper connection, then you have to do it the right way. If you want to make a cake, you have to follow the right instructions. So when you follow brahmacharya, and when a yogi becomes effulgent, because he takes on the qualities of his ishta. The ishta deva, the yogi, is Brahman. Brahman is Brahman effulgence. It's very brilliant. The ishta deva of the bhakta or the Vaishnava is Krishna. Krishna's quality is Tejasanvita. He's effulgent. So you take on the qualities of your ishta. You become effulgent. Become, as Prabhupada said, bright-faced. Prabhupada said the devotees are very bright-faced because they're meditating on Krishna. And Nectar Devotion explains, the brilliant luster of the Kostuba gem and other jewels adorning the chest of Krishna can defeat the radiance even of the sun. Yet when compared to the bodily effulgence of the Lord, these jewels appear to be only as bright as one star in the sky. Therefore, the transcendental influence of Krishna is so great that it can defeat anyone. So now there's some explanation of this quality. Krishna's effulgent body is influential and extremely powerful. But before the influence of Radhika's pure love, Krishna submits as her student to learn the dance of Prem. Although the dazzling sun of Krishna's effulgence lights up the entire universe, it becomes eclipsed by the mystifying clouds of Radhika's man, pouting mood. And Krishna's universal influence and tejas reduces to nil when he falls at Radha's feet to caress them with his radiance. The aura of Krishna's sweetness means the Madhurya Jyoti. Aura? Madhurya Jyoti. The Madhura Jyoti. The aura means Jyoti. The aura of Krishna's sweetness illuminates the hearts of the gopis and the minds of those lost in the darkness of Maya. The brilliant luster from Krishna's ruby red toenails mixes with the soft blue glow emanating from his lotus face to bathe Vrindavan in a purple hue. Krishna's earrings glitter with pinpoints of light, showing the dark eyes of the gopis the way to his brilliant smile. May the powerful influence of the chanting of Krishna's holy names and remembering his effulgent qualities prepare the mirror of the heart to reflect the light of Krishna's love. This is a description of Krishna's quality of being effulgent. It's good, huh? Krishna's effulgent. So let's read about Baliyan. Strong. Krishna's very strong. The extraordinary bodily strength of Krishna will be forever glorified in prose and poetry. As Muralidhar, Krishna holds the flute to steal the hearts of the gopis. And he lifts a mountain as Giridhari to surround himself with the hearts of his beloveds. Krishna is the original strong man. He is the biggest, the toughest, and the undisputed champion of the three worlds. Champion hero. Although Aristasura was as tall as the clouds and mightier than a mountain, Krishna effortlessly picked him up and threw him away just as if he was a ball of cotton. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna promises to deliver the power. Because Krishna is Baliyan. He's strong, he's powerful. But in the Bhagavad Gita, he promises to deliver the power. He says, Purushram Nrishu, He says, Balat, he says, Balaam, he says, I am the strength of the strong. Krishna says, I am the strength of the strong. I am the ability in man, Parusham Nishu. I am the giver of memory and the giver of knowledge. Chanting the holy name connects one to the divine powerhouse. Omnipotent Krishna gives a sincere soul the knowledge power to control his senses, the willpower to control his mind, and the power of love to attract the heart. These are descriptions of Krishna's quality of being strong, Balayan. Should we read more or stop? Because breakfast is also one of Krishna's qualities. Okay, this one. Wonderful linguist, which means vividhar bhuta bhashavit. Yeah, bhasha. Vividhar bhuta bhashavit. Adbhut. Wonderful. Adbhut bhashavit. Vividhar bhuta bhashavit. So, nectar devotion, where all these qualities are described in nectar devotion. They're simply collected here. Nectar of Devotion portrays Krishna as a wonderful linguist. That means speaker, linguist. Expert in different languages. Krishna knows the celestial language of Sanskrit, Devanagari. The pastoral language of Brajbhasha. A variety of world languages. And the languages of the birds and animals. He knows how to speak to the cows and how to speak to the buffalo and the quail and the moor and all the animals and birds. He knows how to speak to them. He is expert. Linguist, wonderful. He's Adbhuta Bhashavit. It's wonderful, amazing. It's amazing to talk to monkeys, like we heard about Prabhupada and Radhadamodar and Sevakunj. Yamuna tells in her memoirs that Prabhupada was talking to the monkey one day. And she asked, because the monkey was always stealing Prabhupada's chapatis from his kitchen in Radhadamodar. So then one day Yamuna came and the monkey was standing there looking through the screen. And the monkey was going, raw, 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 making some monkey talk. And Prabhupada was inside speaking also like in monkey talk. This is Yamuna's words. I'm making up. Yamuna Devi's telling this. It's in Lilamrita. So then she was Adbhuta. She was Chamatkar. She was amazed. What's this? The monkey is going, no. I mean, we know what the monkey is going. Anyway, the monkey was speaking in some type of monkey language. Bandur Bhasha. Is it Bandur Bhasha? Bandur Bhasha. Bandur Bhasha. Bandur Bhasha. And Prabhupada was replying in Bandur Bhasha. He wasn't speaking Bangala. Bangala Bhasha. Hey Bandur Kikarcho. Hey Bandur Kikarcho. He wasn't speaking to the monkey in Bengali or Hindi. Hey Kya Kare. Hey Bandur Kya Kare. He was speaking in Bandur Bhasha. And Yamuna's looking. Ah, oh, what's this? So later she said, Prabhupada, I saw you, the monkey was looking through the screen and you were on the other side of the screen looking at the monkey. And he was speaking, or she was speaking, you were speaking. I was amazed, flabbergasted, overwhelmed. What were you saying? And Prabhupada said, I simply told that old monkey, don't come here again and steal my chapatis. And from that day forward, that monkey never came to steal Srila Prabhupada's chapatis. Srila Prabhupada ki! So Krishna, Prabhupada, like his Krishna, Krishna is a wonderful linguist. And this is explaining how Krishna, we said the tattva, first we explained the tattva. Krishna is a wonderful linguist because he can speak all kinds of languages, he can speak to birds and animals. Now here's the Leela Vichar, this is the Praman from Govinda Leelamrita, Krishna's Kaviraj is telling. Abounding in happiness upon seeing the love of the forest creatures, Krishna said, oh dear, forest creepers, are you happy? Oh, lata. Oh, ban lata. Oh, ban lata. Shukra hega. How do you say, are you happy? Kushraho.
Kushho.
Kushho. Oh, van lata. Kushho? Kushho? Oh, my friends, the trees. Is everything auspicious for you? Mangalam or whatever?
Sakush shubhe.
He's speaking to the trees. Then he says, oh deer, oh mriga, oh deer and stags. It means male and female. Oh deer and stags. Shanti hey. Are you peaceful? Oh pakshi. Oh quail. Tik hey. Sab tik. Ah tik. Birds, are you doing fine? Oh madukar. Madukar, bees, honeybees. Brahmar, are you, you appear very healthy because they're so fat. Brahmar is a mota. Brahmar are like fat, those fat dark blue bees, really loud ones. Those are the Brahmar. Whoa, you look quite healthy. Like when one of your friends goes to America and he comes back. Oh, Sunil, you look very healthy. Means fat. And then, all moving and unmoving creatures, are you all joyful? One night, Krishna hid in a forest near Yavat, and he exactly imitated the sweet singing of the cuckoo. He can do better. He's from Bengal. Mayapur. Mukti Nath. He can, because he has so many beautiful coils there. Coil means cuckoo, coil. They're so beautiful. So Krishna was singing. He was imitating exactly singing like a sweet cuckoo in order to attract Radhika and the gopis from their homes. Playing his flute, Krishna calls the cows by name. Hee-hee, Davali, Chandani, Rangani, Hamsi, Chamari. With his eyes expressing the desire, because Krishna not only speaks with his words, but Krishna speaks body language, sharir bhasha, body language. And every woman has a PhD in this language. Every woman has a PhD in body language. Wow. Now, Prabhu, would you mind passing me the salt? Hey, wait a minute. So Krishna speaks with his eyes. He speaks with his words. He speaks with the movements of his hands, his mudras, when he dances, mudras. Convey, he's speaking with mudra. So now, with his eyes expressing his heart's desire to enjoy with the gopis, Krishna speaks the language of love. Krishna's words are grave, sweet, poetic, clever, humorous, enchanting, submissive, equivocal, and philosophical. Krishna always speaks the right phrase at the proper time. Besides knowing the languages of earth and heaven, the languages of the birds, plants, and animals, and the language of love, Krishna can speak to every living entity. On every planet, in every universe. Now how's that for microwave telecasting? How's that for microwave reception? Krishna, Airtel advertises how many towers they have. 2,000 towers. Krishna has 50 billion towers. Every heart is a microwave tower. Every single heart of every jiva. And Krishna can speak to every single living entity and every planet and every universe. Sri Krishna sits next to every soul as the silent witness waiting for the right time to speak. When a conditioned soul meets a devotee selling Srila Prabhupada's books, Krishna speaks from within the heart. Krishna speaks to the soul from within the heart, and Krishna says, "This Bhagavatam is very nice. You should buy it." When a sincere soul searches for God, Krishna speaks within. Here is your guru. Surrender to him and you will attain perfection. To the guru, Krishna communicates, accept this lost servant, train him and bring him to me. If we open our hearts to Krishna and speak words of love to him, such as, "Oh Krishna, you are so beautiful, sweet and kind. Please accept me as your servant and bind me in your embrace." Krishna will open his heart to us in return and say, "I accept your love and will forever give you mine." So this is describing how Krishna is a wonderful linguist. So Krishna has 64 unlimited transcendental qualities. So we can read about these qualities in Nectar Devotion, at Srila Prabhupada, and teachings of Lord Chaitanya, and other books of the Goswamis. And we can appreciate and develop deep appreciation and understanding of Krishna's qualities. And simply by hearing in the effortless, pain-free, painless yoga, effort-free yoga, lazy man's yoga, take to it today. Simply, we don't even have to ask people, open your ears. They're already open. Simply sit, listen, just sit down and hear. Tat Srinu. Just hear me, Krishna says. And Guru says, hear me. And you'll attain all perfection by hearing more and more and more. Katha Sudayam. Tapakatam Ritam Tapta Jivanam. This is Sudha. This is not Shabda. This is nectar. This is liquid. This is Ras. This is Amrit. Drink deeply from this fountain of Ras, this Harikatamritam, and you will become saturated with bliss. You will become free from shok, moh, and bhayam. And bhakti upadyate. Bhakti will rise in the heart and give its flowers. Give its beautiful flowers of rati, attachment, and bhava and prema. All these beautiful flowers and fruits will come by the process of hearing about Krishna. So Maitreya Muni is inducing us and encouraging us and pushing us to hear more and more about Krishna and his pure devotees. The Vaishnava Charitra and the stories of the Lord and his devotees. So we can speak more, but time is less. Because actually we took some more notes about the whole sequence of hearing. It's called Shravana. Shravanakram, the sequence of hearing. But tomorrow's another day. Hare Krishna. Any questions? Quick questions? From our senior members? Yes.
So, you said that we should hear attentively.
No, I didn't say attentively, just hear. Ultimately, if you want to get the maximum benefit, you should hear with rapt attention. You should wrap your attention and totally into the sound vibration with a mood of submission, with a mood of surrender, and a mood of sincerity of wanting to follow, wanting to emulate, wanting to not only do you want to drink the teachings, but you want to realize them and follow them. The gyan must become vigyan. But even if you don't hear what rapt, if you just hear, the magic nectar will work. That's what we're doing. We're not, because how much attention can we have? It's Kali Yuga. We're full of ikshape. Ikshape means distraction. There's so many distractions. Minds move through ether. The mind moves through ether. And the ethers are totally contaminated in Kali Yuga. Every single Tom, Dick, and Harry has a cell phone. And he's speaking nothing but Gramya Katha and contaminating the ethers. The ethers are more contaminated today than they were in a thousand yugas. Because every stupid guy is broadcasting through the ether. Microwave is going through the ether. And that's where our thoughts travel in the ethereal region. So it's so difficult to meditate in this age. Smaranam. Smaranam means meditation. That's why the emphasis is on hearing, chanting, preaching. Which is all make noise. Make noise. Don't meditate. Make noise. Hear about Krishna. Chant about Krishna. Hearing, chanting. And that automatically will bring us remembrance. But if you want to sit for smaranam and meditation, dhyanam, impossible. Because everywhere, all the ethers are just totally contaminated and surcharged and suffused with microwaves from 50 zillion, cell phones. They're really, really destroyed all these yogis, and somebody's way up in the Himalayas. He doesn't see anybody. His meditation is destroyed because all the microwaves are shooting up there also because they're all over the planet. Meditation, this is not the age of meditation. That was Satyuga. This is the age of Sankirtan, loudly hearing and chanting about Krishna. This is the only way. Harinam, 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 Eka Kevalam. Kalo Nisteva, Nisteva, Nisteva. Gatiranyata. So hear somehow or other. When we're sleeping, are we very attentively hearing when we're sleeping? Are we very attentively... Are we attentively hearing? No, we're attentively dreaming. I'm very attentive to my dreams. I have full attention, rapt attention to my dreams. Hey, wow. Woo, woohoo. This is a good one. What's this dream? I don't know what's going on in that tape Prabhupada's preaching, but the preaching is going into my brain. It's going into my consciousness. It's effective. Automatic advancement. Here when you sleep, here when you eat, here when you drink, listen. Listen. And it's nectar. It actually is nectar. When you drink some nectar drink, that's why it said katasuda. It's nectar. The more you hear, the more you want to hear. You take a little heroin. Oh, that's nice. Well, I want a little more, and a little more, a little more, and you become totally addicted. So the more we hear about Krishna's qualities, it's so sweet. It's so nectarian. It's nectar. And you can't drink enough. And that's the other thing about the ears. Can the ears ever get too full? Can your ears get too full? But your belly can get too full. Do your ears ever get tired and say, oh, I'm tired, now I have to rest? Your body gets tired, your stomach gets full, but your ears never get full.